today on More to Life, taming toxic tempers. Is someone you know always blowing their top? Maybe even you. We'll share grace-filled tips for taming tempers. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, taming toxic tempers. We're talking about anger. And do you know somebody who's always blowing their top? Maybe it's even you, because let's face it, you know, all of us have a hard time dealing with anger. We want to share grace-filled tips for taming tempers and having a more grace-filled relationship with either our own anger or the angry people that we have to deal with. 877-573-7825.
I mean, when you talk about having a complicated relationship with anger, I don't think that there is an emotion that is as complicated as anger. Because sometimes, yes, anger comes from an outright injustice, right? So we have Jesus in Scripture overchanging the tables of overturning the money changers in the temple, because the injustice is they're defiling his father's house. They're defiling the temple. It's a straight on reaction to an injustice, and that's anger. But for the rest of us, anger can be a lot more complicated. It has to do with fear sometimes. It has to do with a bunch of messages we got growing up or experiences we had. I know personally for me, I was terrified of anger because of the messages I got from my mother as a child, where, you know, she could be angry, but don't you dare be angry. You better hold it together, because then she'd be angry again. There are a lot of complexities to dealing with our own anger or somebody else's.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, actually, because I wanted to share, you know, when we were first married, I had a temper. Now, you can back me up here, but I didn't really take it out on you, but
no,
I would take it out on
all
things, right? I would get mad about things, and I'd slam the door, slam the cabinet, you know, beat the thing on the table, you know, and because of what you were just sharing, it would intimidate you.
Freaked me out.
You know, and so you mentioned the idea that a lot of times fear is behind anger, and for me, you know, I was a new husband, new father, trying to start a business.
Yes.
I was terrified.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do any of it.
Yeah, so like I remember a morning, you hadn't even started the business yet, and I think you were going out for a job interview or something.
Yeah.
You walked out the door and we had a flat tire. First of all, we couldn't afford a flat tire. Second of all, you were going to be late
for the job interview.
So the anger flew, and yes, you banged the back door shut so hard it kind of came off the hinge. Now, you didn't accuse me of anything. You were never mean to me, but the fear instigated the frustration and the anger of all of this. I get it. My mouth will work on a Friday. And that breeds anger. Now, the important thing to know is when you've got anger issues yourself or you're dealing with somebody who does, that doesn't mean that the angry person just gets a pass because there's a reason or an excuse.
No, you have to learn how to overcome that and have a healthier relationship with that feeling. And so for me, you know, I had to learn that it was okay to not know how to do stuff. Like, it was okay to just have to figure it out step by step.
It's taken me forever to learn that.
You know, to take that breath and realize that, okay, you know what, it's okay to not know how to do this. I can put this together. And it's a big part, actually. I talk about this a lot in the Beatitudes, because I know a lot of men feel this way. that in the first beatitude, blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit. Mm. The idea of being poor in spirit really means acknowledging I have no idea how to do anything.
Including being a parent.
And that's okay. And every day I just go to God and I say, all right, Lord, I've got no clue. Teach me. And by having that more receptive spirit, it really does help us let go of that fear and the anger that comes from it. But that's just one permutation of how anger
affects us.
It will manifest itself and also affects us. So we're talking about all the different ways that anger can complicate our lives. So do you have an angry person in your life? Somebody who tends to take offense easily or blow up randomly or lash out at you regularly? Maybe your attempts to talk to them about it have either fallen on deaf ears or made things worse. Or maybe you're the angry person and you're looking for better tools to manage your reactions when you feel frustrated or hurt. You know, whatever the situation, call in and let us help you discover more grace-filled ways to deal with either your anger or the anger of the people around you. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Our show today, Taming Toxic Tempers, as we talk about anger and the angry people in our lives.
And maybe you're thinking, I don't want to talk about the anger in our lives on a Friday. Why should I do that on a Friday? It's supposed to be chill. So that you can have a more peaceful weekend. A better week following that. Because when you get the skills and you know how to handle things differently, peace and a sense of rightness comes into order in your life. So let's help you have that wonderful weekend. And change some things in your life if you're dealing with anger issues in somebody you care about or your own self. Let's help you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's The Theology of the Body. And maybe you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how could it possibly help me deal with anger or angry people? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections on how we could live more abundant lives and have healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation and his movement in salvation history.
We tend to have a very complicated relationship with our emotions, especially anger, as we were talking about. It's really complicated sometimes. The theology of the body reminds us that our body, including all of our emotions, was designed by God to work for our good and the good of others. Now, we as Christians often think that being angry is sinful, but that isn't true. Whether our anger is sinful or not has more to do with how we express it than the fact that we feel it. In fact, St. John Chrysostom once said, "He who is not angry when he has good reason to be, sins. Unreasonable patience is the hotbed of many vices. It fosters negligence and incites not only the wicked, but the good to do wrong."
And I want to emphasize again, that's St. John Chrysostom saying
that. Right.
That's not us.
So, it's not us. That's St. John. Take it up with him if you disagree.
So anger is actually meant to be a gift that calls our attention to an injustice and motivates us to act in a proportionate, appropriate, and productive way. Proportionate, appropriate, and productive, so that we can heal the injustice. And if we can do that, our anger is righteous, and it's guided by the Holy Spirit. By contrast, the sin of wrath is anger that leads to an inappropriate, disproportionate, and unproductive response. So being angry itself isn't a sin. It's letting our anger cause us to pour gas on the fire is. And, of course, it's difficult to respond to those hurts and perceived injustices as in an appropriate, proportionate, and productive way all on our own. But so in order for anger to fulfill its godly purpose, we have to stop treating it as a call to arms and instead really see it as a call to prayer and discernment that allows us to determine the nature of that wound or injustice that God might be calling our attention to, and discern the graceful response that God wants us to make to it. So that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. How do we get from that place where our anger just sort of takes control of us and makes us act in ways that maybe we regret later or that push people away from us? How do we deal with those angry people in our lives without feeling intimidated or shut down by them? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Now, this can be big situations of anger, but it can be those smaller ones. Your toddlers who are having tantrums, your older children or teenagers who are being disrespectful and snippy. And you know there's an anger behind it. It's how they express it. But it also makes you angry, and you don't know how to deal with them and teach them how to express their feelings appropriately in a way that keeps you calm and sane. The anger of adult children who are maybe angry at things you did 30 years ago. Bosses who are just really nasty sometimes. It can be big anger, or it can be those little pebbles of anger that are being tossed at your window and making you feel less than. Let's help you fix that today. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I was chuckling when you were saying the pebbles of anger, because I was imagining somebody chucking pebbles of anger at my head. It still hurts. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Even
it hurts,
if pebbles.
And it can enrage you.
877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you anger. Our own anger, the anger of the people around us, and we ask you, Lord, to help us to have a godly relationship with that anger, to know how to respond to our own anger in ways that enable us to make a proportionate, appropriate, and productive response to the injustices and hurts that other people inflict on us or that just we encounter in life. We ask you to help us to respond firmly but compassionately with the angry people in our lives so that we can resist the temptation to be intimidated by them or lash out at them, but rather to minister to them in ways that put up boundaries to the anger, but allow us to work with them to find healthier ways to move forward. We ask you, Lord, to be able to work through us so that we might have a healthy relationship with all of our emotions, especially anger, so that all the feelings you've given us can work with your grace to build your kingdom in everything that we do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, taming toxic tempers. Is someone you know always blowing their top? Maybe it's even you. We'll share grace-filled responses for taming tempers and having a healthier relationship with anger. 877-573-7825. And Lisa, before the prayer, you were saying, you know, this could be anything from dealing with an angry spouse or an angry boss to your toddler's temper tantrums. And actually, on January 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern, Lisa and I are hosting a webinar for parents, tempering tantrums. A little too clever for my own good there. Tempering tantrums webinar on January 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's for parents of kids 8 and under, and we're talking about how to deal effectively with children's anger, whether that's your toddler's temper tantrums or your school-aged child's temper tantrums. We want to help you move those kids past those unhealthy, disrespectful, inappropriate displays of anger and really talk about how to feel effective as a parent in the face of that. So you can learn more about that by going to CatholicCounselors.com/tantrums. CatholicCounselors.com/tantrums to sign up for that webinar on January 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'd love to see you there. And also, you can get daily support with those kinds of parenting questions by downloading and becoming a subscriber to the Catholic Home community. That's Catholic H-O-M. Download and subscribe to the Catholic Home app today to get all the parenting coaching you need and creative resources to help you raise faithful kids and create a more loving, connected, caring Catholic family life. Subscribe to Catholic Home for just $14.95 a month, or get 2 free months with an annual subscription of $149. Check it out. We're taking your calls right here at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Diane, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Hi, Diane. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, good morning. Hi, thanks. I'm surprised I heard you that I got through. Thank you. I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm just an outspoken person, but try to, you know, in goodwill. But I'm really not surprised that your phone is not blowing up or, you know,
all
online.
Well, it started with you, so.
What's your question or comment for us, Diane?
Yeah, you know, it's not really, it's a comment, because, you know, just the anger part. I'm happy, try to be happy, always smiling, and I followed it, you know, the scripture here some time ago, come ye out of the world, and so I try to have less of the world, and people are so offended by it, and some of them are believers or Christians or Catholics or whatever they want to name themselves, and that's what's hard, and the uncovered frustrations coming from them, or the anger. They might not just act out or scream, you know, or that. They do things, the actions, like on the job, they'll trap you or go make false statements about you. That anger, that hidden anger. So that's why you're not getting that many calls.
So Diane, I think that, you know, when you talk about being in the world, but of, when Jesus talks about how we're in the world, but not of the world, I think that really speaks to something here. You know, we can't separate ourselves from the stress and the frustrations and the angry people at work and all the comments that people make. You know, that's part of our job as Christians, to learn how to respond to those kinds of things, to not just avoid them, to not just try to be happy all the time, as you said, but to be realistic about the fact that life is hard and relationships are difficult, but that we, as beloved sons and daughters of God, have been given this privileged position to be able to make a difference in those situations, which is hard for us too, right? Because that requires us to grow in ways that maybe we don't want to grow, to learn things that maybe we don't want to learn. But, you know, in the face of all those situations, you know, God is giving us the grace to learn how to respond more effectively to those people, to those situations, so that we can build his kingdom by making a little bit of a positive difference in those situations. So, you know, as much as I appreciate, you know, your desire is to remain happy and kind of remain above it all and separate from, you know, remember, as a Christian, we're called to really embrace that cross, to not run away from that angry person, to not run away from that difficult situation, but to prayerfully learn how to respond to it more effectively, assuming that that's, you know, actually possible, and to do what we can to make those positive differences.
Those positive differences that allow us to act as Jesus in the world and help people heal, help people be their best selves, and help us to be our best selves. And not being of the world means that we do a lot of work on ourselves to control our own emotions, our own reactions, in a way that allows us to be a positive representation of God in the world, but also a brave enough representation of God in the world that we are willing to do the work to be our best selves and help others be their best selves. The flip side of that, the idea of, oh, well, I just won't be in the world at all, that's really not a Christian representation at all. That's actually a very Eastern or Buddhist representation, where, you know, they just leave the world. You know, leave your family. Siddhartha left his wife, his children, his parents, and went out into nature and just separated and didn't want to have anything to do with any negative feelings.
Siddhartha is the Buddha.
Yeah. That is an Eastern form of spirituality that not at all helps us to be with the Trinity, to represent God in our lives, and to feel an experience of the Holy Spirit within us that allows us to be positive in the world.
All right, 877 573-7825. We're talking about anger and the angry people in our lives on our show titled Taming Toxic Tempers. Is someone you know always blowing their top? Maybe even you. We'll share grace-filled tips for taming tempers today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who'll be sharing some insights on dealing with angry.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about taming toxic tempers as we deal with angry people and our own anger. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
You know, anger in marriage and family life can really burn a lot of things down. And so you wanted to share some insights on how to deal with those fires that anger can start.
Yes, this is something I know well within my immediate family, family of origin. Anger has been a real thing that I have faced, endured, and gone through myself. And it's important that we admit it. If we have a bad temper, we need to admit that to ourselves, before God, and take it to confession. But it might be happening with your spouse or your teens, maybe even your smaller children. Need to learn better responses when disappointment comes their way, when things don't go their way. And it requires work. I like the idea of stop, drop, and pray. Of course, we are taking our spouse, ourselves, or whoever we love to intercessory prayer before God. We are offering masses for them within our heart. We are doing some concrete prayer. But this requires concrete action as well. Anger comes from responding poorly or even childishly to something that disrupts the day, whether it's shoes in front of the door, whether it's bad news on the phone, or a disappointing email. Our only response we've learned or been allowed to practice is one of anger. And what we need to learn is how to respond in a way that doesn't, like you said, Greg, start a fire in the home and sever or damage relationships with people we love.
Well, I mean, the example that you just gave, you know, I think those are all examples of how we learn that if I can just get angry enough, that motivates people to do the thing, to come in and fix the problem, right? And the problem with that is, though, it's you know, I'm trying to solve a problem by setting fire to it. Yeah. And even if it works once in a while, eventually it burns everybody out. And so I think your point is, you know, instead of saying, okay, I see the shoes in front of the door, let me get angry about it. It's how do I, what do I need to do to teach the child, you know, to help the child take better responsibility for this task or this chore? What can I do, you know, what productive things can I do to move forward in solving the problem, as opposed to constantly being surprised that the problem has happened yet again, and the only thing I can do is yell and scream about it in the hopes that people will just come and fix it for me.
Exactly, and that's why, as a spouse, or as a parent, or a sibling of someone with a bad anger, what you want to say is, let's work together to see what we can do. And maybe it's a change of a routine, maybe it's moving the shoes somewhere else, to use that analogy. But if we go at it with, we're in this together, we want a healthy, happy, holy relationship, and this response, this reaction to any situation isn't going to make that happen, is that we can do it in a way that supports each other to say, this is something that makes you angry, and I'm sorry for that, but doesn't make anyone feel like they are being personally attacked. But so it's taking responsibility for yourself and how you're responding, and then working together with those you love, so that response can be brought into a loving response or a response of, like you said, educating people, informing them, and shepherding them to be their best selves.
Rachel, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and sharing those insights and recognize, you know, and really encouraging us all to recognize that anger isn't a solution, that it's an invitation to identify better ways to handle the problem. And if folks would like to learn more about the good work that you do, I really encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are taking your calls about anger and the angry people in your life. Are you struggling with somebody you care about who blows up, lashes out, loses their cool? Or are you the person that's wrestling with your own anger? Let's talk it out and find grace-filled ways to respond more effectively to the angry people in our lives and to our own experience of anger. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Jesus Christ, as I say in my book, Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to the Culture, is the biggest woman's liber that ever walked the earth. He was well ahead of his time in the way he related to women, the way he spoke to women, the way he included women in his ministry. If you don't believe me, go to the Gospel of John and read the encounter of the Samaritan woman. Jews did not mix with Samaritans. And yet there Jesus was sitting in a well, the Samaritan woman comes along. And she is coming at the middle of the day because she's living a very, very questionable life. She's coming to the well to avoid the looks and the stares and the comments and the gossip. She comes at midday when pretty much no one be around, except there is God waiting for her at the well.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What is the significance of the anointing oil or chrism during the administration of confirmation? According to the Catholic Catechism, when a Christian is thus anointed, he is marked with a permanent spiritual seal. Anointing in biblical times was rich with symbolism. Oil is a sign of abundance and joy. It cleanses and limbers the body. It is a sign of healing. Think of it being administered to cuts and bruises. It gives radiant beauty and strength. All these features of oil are present in the sacramental life. The pre-baptismal anointing with the oil of catechumens signifies cleansing and strengthening. Anointing the sick signifies healing and comfort. In confirmation and holy orders, the post-baptismal anointing with sacred chrism denotes consecration. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Hey men, did you know that you're called to lead couple prayer in your marriage? You might have the most amazing individual prayer life, but how is it possible to have a godly marriage if you and your wife don't submit yourselves to God in prayer on a daily basis? If you go off and pray by yourself and then tell your wife what you heard, how is that not setting yourself up as some kind of anointed oracle in your home? Yes, it's a good first step, but it's only the first step. Bring your bride to pray with you and ask God to teach you both how to love each other the way He wants you to love each other. Let her see you humbling yourself before God, and she'll give you her heart in ways you never dreamed possible. To learn more, check out my book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Taming Toxic Tempers, as we talk about dealing with angry people and our own anger. If you're looking for grace-filled ways to manage either angry people or your own anger more effectively, we are here for you today on More to Life, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Kim. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, I was saying that I opened my insurance bill the other day, and this is just an example. And I could be peace and serenity and go to Mass and all this stuff, and then I open a bill that I think is unjust and unfair, and I go off. I mean, and then I get darn near have a heart attack. I mean, it's,
wow.
I get so angry with the injustice of this, you know, the world, and I go to nursing homes and I see how they're treating the people, and I go off, and then I get banned from the place, and I go off, and you know, I mean, it's like.
So you're reacting to what seems like a perfectly true injustice, but then you can't control your anger so much that you actually get driven out from a place or lose connection with people because of it. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly what you're hearing.
And it sounds like it's caused you to, you know, unintentionally drive people away or get yourself kind of in trouble in certain situations. Is that the case?
I do. I've gotten banned from the nursing home that I was visiting, two gentlemen. So what I did was hurt them by trying to, in my way, calling, trying to help them. But like you and Rachel were talking about, that lady you were just talking to.
Yeah.
It's like I start fires trying to get somebody to do something. Somebody
to
fix this.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Okay. Can I ask, how have you tried to do anything to deal with it? Like, have you gotten any help or tried any techniques? Or just so I know where to start.
No, but when I was listening to you and Rachel talk, I was like, oh, wow. You know, I was like, I'd like more.
Okay. Ringing some bells there, huh?
Okay, good. Well, thank you for having.
And telling me. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for having the humility to really see that in yourself and having the courage to call in with that, you know, because, you know, we don't like admitting, you know, this kind of anger and the negative impacts it's had on our life and relationships. And so I really appreciate, again, your humility and your courage. So let's give you some tips for how to begin to deal with this. So as you're recognizing, you know, the anger, you know, and what we were saying with Rachel Watkins, that the anger that you're describing, okay, is essentially saying, I want somebody else to come and fix this for me, right? So like, I open the bill, and yes, it's, you know, you get sticker shock, but then what's really going on, there's a fear that, how am I going to pay this, right? Like, even if you know that you can, because it's a monthly thing, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm just faced with the injustice of how expensive this is, and the reason I get angry about that then I get angry about it because it's, you know, it's a big bill, but the reason I lash out the way I do is because I'm hoping unconsciously somebody else is going to pay this bill and save me from it.
If I
make a big enough noise, then the insurance company is going to lower the bill, or somebody's going to give me the money.
Because when we are babies, that's how it works, right? We're infants. We come into the world. We are helpless. But if we scream enough, and we are dealing with people, adults who are actually good humans, somebody comes and picks us up, changes our diaper, gets us food, and calms us down. And often, we don't get taught any other skills along the way besides I'm terrified. This has triggered a terror inside of me. And now I have to act in a way that will get others to come and do all those things for me because I feel little and scared and alone.
And Kim, I'm not suggesting that you're doing this consciously.
No, not. I mean, this right? applies to every human across
right.
the board.
But on an unconscious level, when we lash out the way you're describing, that's really the intention. It's, I don't know how to fix this, so I'm going to blow everything up in an effort to get other people to see this and fix it.
And righteously, because, as I said, every single human who's been raised by decent humans has had the experience of, if I make a big noise, somebody will come and fix this for me. So it's sort of ingrained in our survival instincts. But now because you're humble enough to recognize it, and you're saying, this is not working for me or for other people, that allows you the power to be able to break that pattern and start changing it.
Well,
and the
best way to break the pattern, I'm going to give you a technique after this, but the first thing to do is to have the insight to be able to say, you know, me yelling about this is not going to cause the insurance company to lower the bill or the nursing home to change their policy. Me doing this isn't going to get other people to solve the problem. I have to figure out how to address this problem the best that I can. So how can I make sure that I'm saving enough money every month to pay that insurance bill when it comes? How can I make sure to do what little things I can do to address what I perceive as the injustice in the nursing home where I'm visiting those two gentlemen? You know, what can I do to make the difference, to kind of take charge of this, as opposed to blowing up in the hopes of motivating the people around me to fix it for me? So having that insight is really important. And you can't remember that in the moment. It's one of those things that you have to kind of take to prayer every day, where you say, Lord, teach me to stop trying to make other people responsible for the things that you're asking me to handle. Show me how to respond to those injustices in ways that help me feel empowered and confident to cooperate with your grace to make a difference. And you're praying about that every day so that you can be mindful of that temptation to give into the idea that if I just make a big enough fuss and create a big enough fire, other people will come in to put it out. It's God saying it's up to me to do something about that fire, not up to me to raise the alarm for everybody else to come and fix it. Technique-wise, what I'd like you to do is every day, I'd like you to just identify one thing that set you off. Just what was the one thing that day that caused you your temper to peak? And I'd like you to write down what it was and what you did. And then I'd like you to pray through it and say, okay, Lord, teach me how you'd want me to respond to this differently. What specifically would you want me to do or say if this situation or something similar to it were to happen again? And actually write it out. Don't just think about it. Write it out. And then every day, look back over the list of things that you've identified, mentally rehearse that situation occurring again and what you'd do differently, and then go ahead and add the new situation to that day. So the point is you're becoming much more prayerful about that anger. You're bringing it to God and asking Him to teach you how to deal with it. And then you're taking active steps to think through situations that provoked you, how you would like to respond differently. You're writing out what you would like to do or say, and you're mentally rehearsing and kind of praying for those responses every day so that you're building up over time a repertoire of new responses, and you're practicing it mentally every day. And at first, you know, you'll still forget and you'll still lose it, but over time what you'll start to see is that you get better and better at not being surprised by these situations and instead being ready with those alternative responses. Now, if you find that these suggestions aren't quite enough to help you get where you need to go or at all or as quickly as you'd like, then you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and we'll hook you up with a good, faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform this challenge that you're facing and get tools for having a healthier and more grace-filled relationship with your anger.
And I really appreciate that you're saying that, Greg, because, you know, Kim, you were talking about our segment with Rachel Watkins and how she was talking about anger with the stop, drop, and pray idea. And really, if we look at this, unfortunately, we're dealing with a situation right now where we can all know exactly what fires are like. And when the fires hit LA, the homeowners had to flee, right? They didn't have the skills to deal with the fires. They had to get out. But the professionals, the firefighters, had the skills, the equipment, and the support team to go in there and fight those fires. And so by doing the exercise Greg's telling you, You know, you're getting some new skills. You're getting ways to protect yourself from the whole thing when it flares up. But getting that support team and the new, even newer skills gives you that equipment and gives you that way to be able to deal with those flare-ups in your life in a safe and effective way.
I would also encourage you to make regular use of confession for this, because what you're describing goes back to what we were talking about in our reflection at the beginning of the show, that being angry about those kinds of things isn't the problem. But being angry in a way that is inappropriate, disproportionate, and unproductive is the sin of wrath. Right. So if my anger leads me to a proportionate, appropriate, and productive response, that's righteous anger. That's me using anger the way God gave me to use it to build his kingdom and address injustices. But when I react in a way that's disproportionate and inappropriate and unproductive, then I'm actually pouring gas on the fire. And I'm burning down the kingdom. And so, you know, to get the grace that I need to overcome that tendency and do more of the things that we're talking about, using regular confession, it can be really helpful to be able to be part of that process of being more mindful and getting the grace that fills that emotional tank so that you can go further down the road. Kim, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life or through CatholicCounselors.com to get more personalized ongoing assistance in overcoming this challenge. And again, thank you so much for the humility and courage that you've shown in reaching out today.
Truly.
To get the help that you need to deal with that anger. Truly. And we're taking your calls, listeners, 877-573-7825. Is someone you know always blowing their top? Maybe even you. Maybe you've got an angry person in your life, somebody who tends to take offense easily, blow up regularly, lash out quickly. Maybe your attempts to talk to that person have fallen on deaf ears or even made things worse. Or maybe, as I said, you're the angry person and you're looking for better tools to manage your own reactions when you feel frustrated or hurt. Whatever the situation, call in. Let us help you discover more grace-filled ways to deal with anger. 877-573-7825. Once again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29.
Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly.
Wise words, but hard
they
to hear.
Sting, yeah, right? They really
but this is what we're talking about here. It's, you know, the writer here is not saying that it's wrong to be angry. When he's talking about being slow to anger, what he's meaning is taking that time, I recognize that I have anger, and instead of using that as a call to arms, I'm going to use that as a call to prayer. I'm angry about this thing. I'm hurt about this thing. I'm frustrated about this thing. Instead of using that feeling to drive my action, I'm going to go to God first. Lord, I'm angry about this. Lord, I'm frustrated about this. Lord, I'm hurt about this. What do you want me to do about it? Teach me how to respond to this in a way that's appropriate, proportionate, and productive, so that I don't just lash out and pour gas on this fire, but so that I can actually build your kingdom and cooperate with your grace through this situation and make it what you'd want it to be. The more I'm able to use that kind of approach, I can be slow to anger and develop the understanding that the author of Proverbs is talking about here. All right, with that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about anger today on More to Life, our show titled Taming Toxic Tempers. If you're the angry person or you're dealing with an angry person in your life, let us help you find grace-filled solutions at 877-573-7825.
Steve Ray here. Next year's a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomeo.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tomeo's newest book is coming soon to the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tomeo provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections, Teresa Tamio, will be found soon at AveMariaRadio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Taming Toxic Tempers. We're talking about dealing with angry people and your own anger and having a more grace-filled relationship with both. 877-573-7825.
Well, we had a caller who just couldn't stay on, but I think it's an important question that a lot of people ask. So, the caller asks, can we talk about adult children and siblings who bring up stuff from when they were kids to blame on you for the bad stuff and start drama? And how to deal with that.
Okay, great
question. I think
question.
We all have at least one person in our lives or have known somebody who does.
Well, yeah, and when you're a parent of an adult child who is treating you that way, it's very hard not to get defensive. And so we want to talk about...
She's saying even her siblings are doing that to her as well. So, you know, it's coming from both places. So, you know, what do you do when people are just dragging up history and blaming you for stuff?
So what you want to be able to do is look at, you know, we have, as I was saying, we start to get defensive about it and start trying to explain our behavior and yes. refight the old thing. And we talk about this a lot in our book, having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with adult sons and daughters. And, you know, what you want to do is first start by empathizing and validating their experience. You know, you might not agree with your adult child's interpretation of what happened back then. But it's important to start by saying, you know, I never really saw it that way. It's okay to say, you know, that was never my intention to hurt you or for you to be hurt. I never saw it the way you're describing. And I'm so sorry that that's how you feel about it that's what that did to you. Then the next step is, what can I do to support you now moving forward? You know, how can we work together to either heal that or what can I do to support you in you know, overcoming that? Because I'm really sorry that that's how you feel. What can we do moving forward together? That's the only way to really disarm the situation and move them toward some kind of proactive steps to healing. Because otherwise what you do is you get caught up in a dynamic where the adult child doesn't want to take responsibility for their stuff. And you just want to be, and you just end up getting defensive and kind of and pushing them away inadvertently.
Inadvertently, and I have to say that this is a dynamic that we all have to really be cautious of in any relationship. Don't refight history. There are no two people on the planet who are going to remember what was said and what was done and understand the cause in the same way. So if we say, this is the problem, whatever really went down, and we're both going to remember it completely differently, if this is the problem and the feeling you are having, what can we do now to help us heal, help this be a better situation? So getting defensive and saying, that's not what I said, that's not how it happened, you don't know what... that is never going to get you anywhere and could make it worse.
So really being able to empathize first and then redirect towards solutions. I'm so sorry that that's how you saw it. That never occurred to me to think of it that way. But now that you're describing it, that must have been really hurtful for you. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. What can we, you know, is there anything that I can do now to support you in healing and moving past this? Because I really want you to be able to get past that. And even though, you know, I played a part in hurting you that way, I mean, on purpose or inadvertently or not, I would like to play a role in helping you move past it now. What can we do about this? So you're empathizing and then redirecting towards solutions. And that's really the most compassionate way to handle this. And it's very difficult as a parent of adult kids. I mean, we've had similar conversations with our, we have a good relationship with our adult kids, but no parent's perfect, you know, and sometimes you do things and the kids respond to it differently than you think you will. And then when they're grown-ups, they come back and say, you know, when you remember when you did that, that really hurt. It's like, really? Gosh, you know, and so it's easy to go to a place where like, well, that's not it at all. And you defend yourself and you try to explain, and the adult kid then ends up feeling like you don't care about them. And it leaves them stuck in an unproductive place. But if you're able to empathize with it and recognize, you know, look, we all do our best, but sometimes things fall apart in translation. It's okay to acknowledge that, but then say, so what can I do to come alongside of you moving forward and work through this together? Yeah. So I think that's really a lesson for all of us to take, especially in our relationship with our adult kids. Don't be defensive about it. Don't be hostile. Don't try to explain it away. Acknowledge the pain. And then redirect towards solutions and what you can do to be part of that solution. You know, going back to what you were saying, Lisa, about not refighting things, that's often a surprise to people.
Oh, we all think we have to, you know, die on the hill of this is how I remember it, this is what it was, and until I can convince
this
you.
This is what really happened.
Yeah.
Unless we can agree on what really happened.
Yeah.
How can we solve the problem moving forward? But as you were pointing out, nobody ever agrees on what really happened. I mean, if you and I have an argument, neither of us ever agrees on who started it or who said what or what really occurred. And that's okay. The only thing we have to agree on is we didn't like what happened and we'd like to do better next time. Mm-hmm. So we can use the past as a kind of a touchstone, a point of reference for saying, well, that stunk, right? But then we can talk about, so the next time something like this happens, because we know it's going to happen again, how can we work better together to manage it? And you can use that same format with anybody that you're having difficulties with, especially anybody who brings up ancient history, rather than going back and trying to argue about what really happened so that you could quote unquote solve what really happened. It's all right, look, let's say that did go that way. And you know, the next time something comes up like this, how can we work better together around it? What would we need to do differently? And that becomes the basis for what I call compassionate problem solving, compassionate problem resolution, CPR. It's you know, kind of getting the heart beating in that relationship again. You know, by instead of becoming reactive and defensive and angry and lashing back out again, it's like I can identify the intention behind this person being angry with me. I can respond to that intention and work with them to find better solutions moving forward. I'm not tolerating bad behavior. I'm not rewarding their, you know, I don't know, anger or abusive comments or whatever. I'm setting boundaries with it by saying, all right, let's change this moving forward. And by doing that, I'm able to make the changes that need to be made without pouring more gas on that fire. Right. So that's what we've been talking about today on More to Life. How do we deal more effectively with our anger? And, you know, as we were saying at the very beginning of the show, anger itself is not the problem. You know, the theology of the body, St. John Paul's theology of the body, reminds us that God created our bodies to work for our good and the good of others. And our emotions are part of our body. We don't tend to think of it that way. We tend to think of emotions more as a psychological or spiritual thing. But they begin as bodily reactions to our environment. And God created those bodily reactions so that we could respond in productive ways. Of course, sin has disrupted that order that God created in our bodies, and so we tend to respond in disordered ways to our emotions. But God's plan for anger is to motivate us to respond to injustices in a proportionate, appropriate, and productive way, so that in the face of those injustices, we can build God's kingdom and be privileged and blessed sons and daughters of God to make a difference, to do good things, as opposed to what Satan wants us to do, is respond wrathfully.
Yeah.
By making an inappropriate, disproportionate, and unproductive response that pours gas on that fire and burns down the kingdom.
Yes, it burns down the kingdom because it breaks relationship more and more. It destroys the body of Christ.
So if you are dealing with anger, the answer to that is not don't get angry, which is what all my clients will say whenever they're wrestling with this. The answer is, how can I respond to my anger in an appropriate, proportionate, and productive way? Now, that isn't easy, but it's a worthwhile question to reflect and pray on that leads to answers and gives you a way forward in the face of it, instead of causing you to keep repeating those same mistakes over and over again and expecting a different result. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in to our show on anger today. And if you'd like more effective tools for dealing with your own anger and the angry people in your life, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Now get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.